Welcome back to another exciting episode of Patrick D. Chairs. I have a fabulous guest. He's from Hawaii. I mean, I've had so many lately. I should just move there. Nobody invites me, though. I have Jaina Park and her film Grace. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
So let's start with something. How did you come on to this project? Because you're just a director. You didn't write it.
So someone had
to help you.
Yeah, well, so actually a really good friend of mine, Elizabeth Rian, who we had worked on a film the year before, she wrote this. It's a true story about her grand aunt who lived here on Oahu, who was a teacher and a librarian, whose sister every Sunday would have a new man at the table ready to introduce her to marry, and she just never wanted to, which is, you know, of course, wonderful for her. And Elizabeth heard about this, and in the context of her grandmother saying, oh, your poor Aunt Ruth, who never married a man and never had kids, but traveled the world and walked the beach and read books and had a one, you know, this other wonderful life and four loving nieces and had a super full life. But it was told to her in this context of poor Aunt Ruth. And she wanted to reframe it and go, no, you know what? This is not poor Aunt Ruth. Ruth had a wonderful life and a beautiful life, and we can tell her story. And perhaps Ruth didn't even know her own sexuality at the time, but she did have a best friend slash roommate that she went and taught with in Japan for a year and taught with in Germany for a year. And that woman ended up, you know, being married off by her family, and Ruth stayed single. So we wrote about that, and it's in the context of during statehood when Hawaii became a state. Which, you know, there's a lot of people who were happy about that. And then there's a lot of people who were not so happy about that. So our film just comments on that as well.
Oh my God, we got so much to unpack right there. Okay, let's start the easy one. Is the aunt gay or not? I would say yes.
You know,
Could you tell me she is? Or
I read her journals. I think this was in the 1950s, and she came from a very religious family in the 50s, where I don't even think that was a concept in her own mind. But I read her journals and I've seen her pictures. And as a queer person myself, I and Elizabeth as well, we believe that. We believe that at least, you know, she was in love with this woman. And the way that she wrote about her, and she wrote about, like, not even understanding her own feelings, but how this woman changed her life. And, you know, so that's our understanding.
No, I think it's there. If you've read the journals and being a queer person yourself, I mean, you get feelings. I mean, it's there. You understand. I mean, you relate to it better than I could. You know, I'll give you full credit for that. And I get it. So we accept that. Now, the next thing I want to unpack is what you brought up is the American statehood of Hawaii. So you give me both sides here, but you don't take away from your short, though. I mean, you do touch on it, but take away. So I'm going to put the question to you. Do you want to remain a state, or would you rather have your own country back?
You know, I believe that the Kingdom of Hawaii is being occupied by the United States of America.
Okay.
So that's how I function as a person. I'm not Native Hawaiian myself, but I'm fourth generation, born and raised in Hawaii, and my daughter is Native Hawaiian, and I grew up on Molokai, which is a very, like, Native Hawaiian enriched cultural island. So I feel very connected to that. And then in college, having learned about the legalities of what happened here, and from that side too, being like, oh, actually, this was a very illegal occupation that led into kind of an illegal statehood, you know. So it's like, it's to me, I'm a little bit more on the factual side of like, okay, well, we're being illegally occupied, so we need to address that. And I'm not sure what that means, because it's been so long and there isn't one solid group that's ready to say take over, or, you know, even with Native American, where they have a reservation and then they get to make their laws within that. We don't have anything like that. So I don't know what that looks like. I think it's just at this point, I think the awareness of some of us here truly believe we're being illegally occupied is like the first step of awareness. And then we'll see what happens after that.
I'm just stating that because the more films I've watched based in Hawaii, I hear more of this. This is not the first film I've heard it for this festival. It's like the third or fourth film I've heard of it. So I think the movement has started. Now, as a filmmaker, are you going to do that in the future? Do you see yourself filming about this?
Absolutely. And I've produced other films about that touch on this. And I know some really, really talented Hawaiian filmmakers who are working on this. So that's kind of my goal as a producer, is especially because I'm not Native Hawaiian, but this is my land. You know, I'm Korean and mixed race, and but I'm, you know, I don't speak Korean, and I definitely don't feel at home on the continent. So this is my home. So I feel like my family was allowed to come here on the policies of the colonizer. So how do I make that right? I produce Native Hawaiian writers and directors as much as I can, and are going to try to tell this story and try to get, you know, justice, not just justice, but like, let's make this pono, which is a Hawaiian word for basically like, let's make it right. Like, let's collectively, you know. So I think that's one of my, and that's why I became a filmmaker in the first place. I went back to school and I got a degree in politics and women's studies, and I almost went to law school. And at the last minute, I changed to grad school to study film because I thought this is actually a very powerful way to make worldwide change, is if I can make, you know, relatable films, but that are telling, sharing these important stories, like maybe we can actually change things.
I'm laughing because you speak like a lawyer.
My
When I
dad's a
talk
lawyer.
to it sounds like a lawyer to me. It's great. I love it. So I'm going to go off topic one more time. I promise I'll
Yeah,
get back to your
it's all
short.
good.
In having a dad as a lawyer and making films, do you incorporate your dad in your films the way you write, or do you write at all?
You know, I do write, and I definitely do incorporate my family into my films. I made a film called The Baby Luau about 10 years ago. I co-wrote it with a good friend, and it's sort of loosely based on my family dynamic, but mainly this idea of, you know, an oldest daughter kind of going away from Hawaii and then trying to come back and integrate into this, and it's a different, you know, experience. And yeah, so I do, absolutely. And I'm actually planning to write a feature based on some kind of crazy experiences that I've had as like co-parenting with my ex-husband, and my teenagers are wanting to write the script with me, which fills my heart with joy. So,
Well, that's lovely. Okay, now we're going back to your short. I promise,
yeah.
I have not forgotten. The house location is very important to this because I think you use it the whole time. Obviously, you have to have a big dining room because that's the period you're shooting in. And for the outdoor scene at the very end, I don't think it's the same spot. I agree with her talking, but the last scene I do want you to break down later. So let's start the opening scene at the dinner table. Where'd you get the house location?
So Elizabeth, who wrote the script and is an executive producer on the film and starred in the film as Ruth,
Oh,
she,
okay.
yeah, that's her, redhead, yeah. Yeah, so that's Elizabeth playing her own grand aunt, which is pretty cool. And so she actually, her actual grandmother's house, where this actually went down, is not far from my home here in Manoa Valley, which is near the University of Hawaii. And she went around the neighborhood where we are, between here and that house, basically, and looked at all the old houses that were at least, you know, from the 40s or back. And she put letters on a lot of the historical homes, and she emailed on the historical registry, and she just said what we're doing. And she said, you know, we're a very small team. We're basically no budget or very low budget. We did get a grant, so we got to pay some people, but not much budget for a location or anything like that. And you know that it's this is what it's about, and that we're women local making it, you know. And we had a couple of bites, and that was one of them. And she got back to us, and it. Kathy and Richard have been longtime Manoa residents. Kathy's mom had just passed away. That was her house. So nobody was living there, and they had just cleaned it out. And it was just very serendipitous. And Kathy also felt like, wow, this is like meant to be, that she had just cleaned out her mom's home. She has all these memories, and now it can be used for art and for telling this beautiful story. And so we did, and they actually became co-producers. They helped a lot with the production. They were there. They got involved. They really enjoyed it. It was really special. We dedicated, you know, we co-dedicated the film to her mother. And her family is going to come out for the premiere, which I can't officially say when, but it's going to be soon. And, you know, it was just a really special, it was all meant to be, you know, and the house itself had a lot of warm family memories from her family being raised there. So, and it's just a beautiful home, isn't it? Like, we really didn't have to change much. It was kind of there. I think the table was already there, the chairs. And there was this thing where she said, oh, you know, I only have, it was one, two, three, four, five She didn't have all six chairs, but we only needed five. It was like really perfect. And there's even a picture on the wall of the house that her husband had drawn of the house. So.
Okay, I'm gonna pick up from there. You do go to the kitchen area at one point. Now, did you add stuff to that? Because she cleaned it out, you're telling me. So all that had to be added.
So we added a little. So our production designer Moana is amazing, and she did add some of it. But like, the features of the kitchen itself, it's very 1940s, and so the cabinets and just the way it's laid out, she added like the pineapple upside down cake, and I think a little
That's what I
shelf.
was.
Yeah. But
I.
a lot of it was there. I think even the chairs were already there. We didn't have to do too much. I mean, Moana's amazing, and she tweaks and she added the curtains and all this stuff. But we were pretty lucky that, considering we didn't have a big budget, we could go in and kind of just tweak, 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 and it was good. And the
Okay,
outside
let's
of the
go.
house too, and the yard, you saw, it's all there. It was
Oh,
all
it's
ready to go.
beautiful. Lots of questions.
The clothesline was in the script. It was already there in the
Oh,
yard.
there you go. The food. Who made the food and did you guys eat it?
Oh yes. So Moana made the food. She made it the day before. The cat, I mean, they were eating it a little bit, right, as they were going.
Right. But I never know if it's, you know what I mean?
I think that some of it probably got eaten, like the rolls and things like that. But we did have, I gotta say, a shout out to Kapahale, which is an amazing restaurant here in Hawaii, Kahala, who donated one of our lunches, and then Coco Head Cafe, where Elizabeth works. Chef Leanne Wong and Chef Kiaka Lee, they donated the lunches. So like the meatloaf would be good, but they donated like really fancy like bars, like lice. So everybody was excited about the catering.
So, did you eat the pineapple upside down cake? It's really what I wanted to know.
I'm pretty sure someone on the crew did, but I
Because it
can't tell you
looked
for sure.
fantastic.
Didn't it? But that's all that matters. Like, it just has to look
Well,
good.
she picks at it. Elizabeth picks at that cake for
Yeah.
2 seconds. I'm like, and she go, I go, does she eating it? I couldn't tell. Because she doesn't, I know she just picks at it or actually puts it in. Because I couldn't tell if she grabbed something at that point.
She's vegan, so she probably just pretended.
Fair enough. Well, I don't know that, right? So,
Yeah.
as a protector, okay, Elizabeth is a redhead then?
Yep.
Is her sister a redhead or did you dye her hair?
So actually, I think, the way that the color in the film came out, their hair looks more similar. But actually, Danielle is more of a brunette, and Elizabeth's hair is red, but it's like looks redder on the screen. So Danielle's actually a brunette, but I don't know, the way the coloring came
No,
out, they look
there's no way.
I know. I know. It looks like, but I mean, and they look like sisters, right? And so, and
That they absolutely do.
Danielle flew from London because she's from Hawaii. She grew up on Maui, but she's been living in London. And I just happened to be visiting her in London for our other film. And we were at a West End show, and I was telling her about this. And I said, yeah, I'd love for you to audition, but we don't have the budget to fly you out. And I said, I could pay you, but I can't pay for the flight. So she said, I'll fly myself out and I'll surprise my family for Thanksgiving and I'll do this film if you want me.
That's
So it
awesome.
kind of, yeah.
Okay, coloring of the film. Did you? I know Hawaii is a beautiful place. Did you color correct in the scenes at all? Because those scenes all look very similar
Yes.
in the dining
So,
room. It looks
yeah.
everybody's got that dull 50s tone color. I don't know how to describe it. Other than it looks 50s to me.
It is good. That's the goal. So, yes. So, we started out with the wardrobe and the production design. And then we have an awesome colorist, Gerard Elmore, who has been working with our cinematographer, Ann Mizawa, to get those color tweaks. And that's our goal, very 1950s. Outside, I wanted it to be a little bit more dreamy when the two women are outside having their conversation. So
We're gonna
that,
get there.
yeah. So that, I was hoping for that shift. But yeah, I think to me, evoking some of the Leave It to Beaver,
Yes, that's what it felt like to me. June Cleaver
yeah.
making dinner.
Exactly, June Cleaver. That's what we're going for. And that's
Okay,
Danielle.
makeup. You definitely have a very heavy foundation on everybody but the men. The men, I'm not sure if they, because you don't really do a close-up of them ever. Because you're, when you're doing the far shot, the first shot you're coming in, it's very light. And then you come in kinder, and I'm like, oh my God, I can actually see full makeup on them. So is that the, I don't know if that's a 50s design or is that just your design?
I mean, so I think it was definitely these women are put together for church every Sunday.
Okay.
Like, and it's also that in Hawaii, like, you have local people wearing very flowy muumuu dresses that are appropriate for the climate. And then you have these people who have, relocated here from New England, who are still getting dressed up every Sunday in their full stockings and suits and ties. And that was going on here. So I think that's also supposed to be reflective of that. Like, this is Sunday, and we're still kind of in between this tropical climate and this New England very religious lifestyle. You can see the men are still dressed, with long sleeves and all that.
Yes.
So,
Okay.
and it's 80 degrees.
Yeah, I was thinking that. That's what I'm thinking. You're shooting this in shorts and a t-shirt, baby, and everybody
Oh,
else is
tank
fully
top. Yeah.
dressed.
Yes. But that's how they dress. You know what I mean? Like, this is, we, Moana took that right out of pictures from her own family or and albums of, like, this is how people dressed on Sunday. And it was hot.
Set design. How much work did you do? I mean, obviously you're taking it from pictures, so everything's from a picture then. So the table's set from a picture, the background pictures over the buffet, are those, you said one of them is real. Did you add the other two? Because there's three
Yeah.
distinct ones.
So everything in there was added except the one drawing of the house, which Richard had drawn and given to Kathy's parents as a present a long time ago. And we just thought that
Okay.
was, but everything
Yes.
else Moana chose and added. Yep.
Okay, we're outside and they're talking, the two women, and they pick up a flower. Now, the flower was bugging me. Now, I know Hawaii has beautiful flowers all over the place that grow naturally. Was this real? Because I never know in these Hawaii films if it's real flowers or
That
not.
flower was real,
Okay.
but it was there was a it was a plant it was a plant that she had gotten flowers from my neighbor and stuck it on that plant so that it
So
could be
that's what
right
I
there next to
thought. When she takes the
yeah.
flower off, I'm like, that's not the same thing. Because it didn't look right to me. So
Well,
that's
so
why I
it is,
asked.
she did take it off that plant, but it yeah, that wasn't that's not the plant that it was originally from.
I thought so.
Yeah.
Because I was
So
like,
we
that
have to
can't.
cheat that a little bit.
Okay. Because I'm
And
in my head, I'm
it's
like, I didn't look real to me. Maybe I'm being fussy, but I'm like, rewound,
no.
watched it again. I'm like, that stuff's not right here.
You were right. You're
Okay, well, I have to ask these
right.
questions because I need
Yeah,
to
it's all
know.
good. It's all good.
Now, I
Inquiring
want
minds
to,
must know. Yeah.
yes, I want to go to the lake shot now. I think it's a lake or a pond. I'm not really sure.
Oh, yes, the ocean.
It is the ocean. Because you kind of, I want you to walk through me the shooting style of that. Because you give me three or four different shots at once. You give me the opening shot, it looks like almost a miss shot. And then you come in clear, and then you go back to blurry almost, I would say, and then you play with it again at the end. So explain to me everything you did.
So that whole sequence is really meant to be a mystery of, is this something that happened? Is this that something that's going to happen? Is this just something that's in her fantasy? So it's very handheld, as you saw, shot, right? And I think that's the idea of it not feeling so much like a narrative. This is something happening that you're getting, like, kind of glimpses, right? Of, and that's to me where it's like, is this a memory? Is this a future or is this imagination? And there's no answer. I mean, I'm it's ambiguous on purpose.
Okay. You can I wasn't shot at sunrise or sunset, or is that added
Sunset.
in?
Sunset.
Okay.
It was shot right at sunset, and we shot it till the sun went down, and the cinematographer wanted to keep shooting.
Okay, because you're saying it's ambiguous, but in the story, I don't think it is ambiguous.
What do you think? I'm curious.
What do I really feel? I feel it
Yeah.
really happened because I think you want it to. Because I think that comes away because of the dinner scene. There's a giveaway on the dinner scene. Because she
Okay.
yawns, the other woman laughs, and then they have the flower scene. And then you go to, I mean, I think from the flower scene on, it's a dream. I do
Okay.
agree. But I think the dinner scene is your giveaway. You have to decide at the dinner scene whether you're in or you're out of the couple. And
I
I
love
mean, maybe
that.
it is all fantasy, but that's the way I looked at it. I'm like, because you're tight with your partner and they get you and you get them, you would probably, I say, yeah, they're a couple. I have to go with yes. Because
I love
nothing
that.
you gave me would tell me otherwise.
I love that.
And I just because of the tell, if she hadn't giggled, I probably would not know my answer. But I think because you as a director gave me a giggle, that to me is a connection that I didn't, nobody else has that connection in the film. Like, I
Yeah.
don't think she has
Yeah.
that connection with her sister. I don't think she has it with
Yeah.
her brother-in-law. I don't think she has it with her
Definitely
niece.
not. And that was that's the story. So that makes me so happy that you got
Okay.
that. Because
Okay. I do feel
that's
that.
their connection. Yeah,
Okay,
that's what
good.
she
So,
wrote about.
okay. I do feel, though, you like to play both sides of the film. And we did discuss that earlier. You have the daughter saying, I want to be a state. And then the other woman saying, I don't. So that's why I asked you the question either. But at the end of the film, you restate something that you want them to be on their own. So which message should I leave with? Should I leave with your final statement, or should I leave with the one that there's at the
I think
beginning
you should
that.
leave with knowing that it is contentious and that there are people who live here who want different things.
Which is fine, but I think you get that in any country.
Yeah, but it's different. It's not every country that is does not have a treaty of annexation
That's true. We do not
that,
hear that I know of.
that was who had a monarch who was legally ruling, who had been acknowledged as a kingdom, right, as its own nation by England, by many other countries, who was then at gunpoint, gave up her throne for the sake of thinking, okay, we're going to go through the legal processes and we're going to get it back, because that had actually happened before. So it's this feeling of being held hostage. So I think that's
Okay.
what's unique about Hawaii, and I think that's the message that I want people to leave with, is it's not cut and dry. It is
No.
not that the United States came in and now we're a state and everything's fine and we're all just like, oh yeah, we're part of the US now and it's all good. Like, that's the message. It's like, no, there's plenty of us who do not feel a part of the US, who feel that we have to be talking about this. Something needs to be done. I am not the person with the answers as to what needs to be done in this moment, but definitely that the conversation and the awareness is starting, and I hope to be a part of that. And then once the conversation starts taking place of, okay, what can be done now that we're being taken more seriously, I'd love to be a part of that too. So yeah.
Okay, let's back up. You say the word held hostage. Do you think the woman Elizabeth feels held hostage?
I think Ruth is,
Ru Sorry.
yeah, I think, no, yeah, it's played by Elizabeth. And I think she is, in a way. I think she's held hostage by her time that she's grown up in, and the limitations of even her own mind and her understanding of herself, and say her feelings, her sexuality, what she wants. Even if it's not about her sexuality, just this idea that if you're a woman in the 50s who didn't want to marry a man, just that, even if it's not about her being gay, just if she was like, I don't want that. It was so judged, right? It's so unacceptable. And even internally, I think there was a lot of women who would think, what's wrong with me that I don't want this thing?
Oh,
So I think it, yeah, so I think in that sense, she's held hostage by her time. It makes me think about my own grandmother, who was the first Korean American Fulbright scholar and a brilliant woman, and who told me, if I was born at a different time, I would have been a pastor in my church because that was my calling. But women weren't pastors, so I led Bible study group and I was a moderator. But so in that sense, there is this, like, the capacity of these women who have intelligence and their own agency to do what they want, and are being held hostage by society, by laws, right? Like, you can't even have a bank account unless a man co-signs. So yeah, I like that.
ridiculous.
that, I mean, I like the phrasing of like hostage, yeah.
Okay, well, that's it for the short. We're going to move on to fun questions. I think I covered it pretty good.
You did. You're awesome.
Okay, your favorite film?
Oh my gosh. Well, the film that I can watch over and over and over without getting tired of is Sleepless in Seattle by Nora Ephron.
I love that film. I
It's my
love,
comfort
love,
film.
love.
You know, like comfort food.
Yes. Oh no, there's nothing wrong with that. One dish that's native to Hawaii that people should try.
Poi. It looks that everyone thinks it looks gross. It looks like purple paste or something, but it's taro and it's delicious if you give it a chance, and if you especially if you like eat it with something else like smoked pork. So poi,
Hold
and
on, do I put the smoked pork on top of it or I mix it
so
in
you
with
can like
it?
mix it or you can dip it. Or a lot of like with fish, people eat it with fish. You know, something salty. It's like it's a base. It's like a, you know, like a rice or a mashed potatoes or grits. But it's super healthy. There is not one person on earth that has shown alert like to be allergic to it. It's what we give the babies as their first food. It's like if you have a tummy ache, you can eat it and it helps reset your gut. So,
Fascinating. I've never heard of
yeah.
this. Okay. One actor you will work with in the future. And this
Oh.
could be anybody you want.
Yeah. Aquafina.
Oh yeah,
She's
she is fun. She
Korean Chinese, and I have a lot of my Korean family films that I hope to develop, and I want to hope to bring her in.
Well, I'm sure she might do it. She does a lot of work and a lot of different work.
Yeah, I mean, and she was just amazing. If you've seen the Farewell, that's, I mean,
Yes, I have seen
yeah.
The Farewell.
So I and that was her Chinese side, and I know she's part Korean, so I'm sort of hoping to one day say, hey, why don't you rep your Korean side?
I think she will. Tell me where they can find your work, please.
So I'm on Instagram, Jaina Park Producer, and I'm about to launch my new company, but I can't say it yet. But if you go to my Instagram, it'll be up there very soon.
Awesome. Thank you and have a great day.
Thank you so much.